With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 154, the box office report for the week ending January 24th. 2016.
That's a lot of numbers.
How about that?
Are we back in 16 now?
Yeah, we're back in 16. Yeah. Well, I had to come back so we could see Dirty Grandpa.
You've made an error in judgment.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So they didn't even release
it
on video.
It's so bad they didn't even release it on home video. Yeah, it was Obama's last act.
On his way out.
Yeah.
I vetoed this movie.
He pardoned De Niro for making the film, but then he issued an executive order saying that it could never be released.
All copies have been destroyed.
Yes.
Yeah. And they almost gave him a third term for that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like unprecedented.
Even Trump was like, fair enough.
I can't fault you. That's a pretty good move.
It makes a lot of sense.
It was
there.
The first time the Senate and Congress were just like,
they all agreed.
Yeah, it was
unanimous.
The only other time they all agreed was when they were singing the Star Spangled Banner after 9/11.
Right.
It's like that and preventing this movie from being seen by the public. So
stay tuned to see what we thought of Dirty Grandpa on the next episode.
Oh, did we just spoil ourselves?
That happens when you get older.
Yeah. De Niro should know. So that's what we'll be doing on our next episode. But first, we'll do the box office report. Let's go around the room and people can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
This is Chris.
And Chris is joining us. You've been on a long time ago. When was it?
Yeah, that's I think it was like almost a year when we talked about Focus.
Focus, that's what it was.
What was that?
It was me coughing.
No, it was Focus.
Oh, Focus.
You thought Joe actually needed an explanation.
Like, I know what a cough is.
I was like, well, how do you not know what a cough sounds like?
I mean, Joe may not know a lot, Tom, but
I know a lot about
Focus
a little bit.
Focus was the Will Smith con artist movie.
Oh, with Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
Okay.
You were focusing on Margot Robbie now.
You were focusing on Margot's Robbies.
Margot's Robbies.
Oh, and I'm Tom.
In case you didn't know.
So in case,
never figured that out.
Yeah. I could see why they would maybe not want to know. So before we get into things with the box office report and whatnot, let's do some shameless plugs. Don't forget that we're available on iTunes, so you can go there and rate and review, and it helps us a lot. And I know we talk about this all the time, but sometimes people stumble across the show, and those reviews help them.
Yep.
Help them decide, because there's a lot of people that do movie podcasts. There's not a lack of them out there.
No.
And so
we came into this a little late in the game.
So this helps people, like, if they're trying to figure out if it's worth checking out. If you write kind words, it helps them. Here's someone. We have a new review.
Oh, sweet.
And it's from Confused, a.k.a. Hannah.
All right.
Okay.
Yep.
And the title is Even Snape Enjoys This Podcast. And she says, I stumbled upon this podcast because I am consumed with a love for The Force Awakens and wanted to listen to other people who are actually knowledgeable about the Star Wars universe and movies in general discuss it without making dumb or irrelevant complaints. To my surprise, this podcast is actually really great. To your surprise. Imagine none of the hosts are annoying. Were you out that week, Joe?
Nope, I was totally here.
Okay, congrats. I have listened to so many episodes now. Help me, Summary, I like it. You should like it. My opinion is all that matters. I am God. So God enjoys the show.
Wow. Although, that's like a weird turn there at the
God
end.
God has a self-esteem issue because Hannah says ends it by saying, I am God, but God is not capitalized. So
maybe she forgot the word ah.
Maybe make of that what you will.
Yeah, she's ah God.
She's ah God?
Yeah, yeah. One of many.
I don't know. I mean,
I did see that trailer for Gods of Egypt, and
oh, yeah. How many Egyptians are in that movie?
Zero.
What an odd.
How many Brits are in that movie? All of them.
That is just odd when they can't throw in like a few Egyptians to a movie called Gods of Egypt.
What was that Ridley Scott one that we saw? With Christian Bale and Joel Edgerton.
Oh, Exodus.
Yeah, it was another one where it was like, yeah. Where's all the... Where? All yeah. Right.
Fair enough.
I want to talk about whitewashing.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding.
You know what's even worse?
No.
That Bangles video.
Is that... Oh, Walk Like an Egyptian?
There we go.
I was like, Bengals.
You're like, Manic Monday?
Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, you're all right. Yeah. So, also, while you're, if you want to run by our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers, you can comment on things. We post articles and, of course, our episodes. And if you would like to share an episode, that's a great way for you to join the League of Show Sharers.
Indeed.
And people that have joined this week or re-upped, if you will, TJ Gaylord, that's a new name.
That
and I
one.
Apologize for your childhood. Yeah. Ooh, that
man.
Had to be a rough one.
I mean, I'm glad you made it.
Yeah, you totally. Know? Like I'm not going to pile proud of you. On. I just feel bad. Like I'm like that had to be rough. So, and then Librarian Cynthia, Timmy Tuzoons, Brian Kelly, Chris Sanders, Lane Levanway, Ryan Bridenbecker, Travis Tewitt, Dustin at Nerds and Night Gaming, Tammy Sherman Powers, Tom Kamisky, and Disneyland Matt, who has been promoted this week. He is entirely in charge of Universal Studios Espionage.
Wow.
Oh. It's just his job to go over there and sabotage the Harry Potter. He has keys, and what he'll do is you got to put your stuff in a locker before you go on the Harry Potter ride.
Right.
He has a master key.
Right.
And he opens up all the lockers, and he switches stuff.
Oh, that's a dick move.
Yeah, it's Universal Studios.
It's true. You got to do what you got to do.
This is yeah. It's heated. It's Disney versus Universal.
It's legit.
The gloves are off.
Yeah.
So I know it sounds ugly, but...
I was actually talking about... What was the deal? Why can't Marvel be inside Disney parks?
So
Universal has the
Universal sign. This is the way I understand it. I, you know, I could be a little off. Yeah. I mean, I am a little off, but
yeah, we knew that.
It's neither here nor there.
But to the best of my knowledge, the way it worked is Marvel pre-Disney signed a theme park licensing agreement with Universal Studios.
Got it.
And that they own the rights to Marvel characters within, like, they own the theme park rights to Marvel characters west of the Mississippi.
Okay.
So Disney cannot have Marvel characters within Disney World, but they can Disneyland.
Got it.
And so that's why, like, okay, when Guardians of the Galaxy was coming out, and they have movie theaters at Disney World and Disneyland, and they had brought back Captain EO after Michael Jackson died, and they had paused Captain EO and we're showing Guardians of the Galaxy in the Captain EO theater,
right?
They were doing something similar in Disneyland. I don't think they had Captain EO out there, though. So the interesting thing was that they were showing it. You know how I haven't heard anything about it in a while, but you know how they were doing that thing a few years back where, like, your seats would, like, shake and rock back and forth. So they had that set up in those theaters, but in Disney World, they had to deactivate those seats because that counted as a ride.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
That's hardcore.
And so they could show the movie, but they couldn't let the seats shake in because it counted as a ride.
That's weird.
So, like, they can't basically build, like, rides around them is what I understand. So
I wonder how the lawyers would be like, look.
Oh, they're doing it. I have no doubt that there's like 30 lawyers whose only job is to look for loopholes
to get them back,
or to find or to catch Universal doing something that would void that deal.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I just
interesting.
And I can't help but think, like, that's why when you go to Universal, like, their characters, like the Marvel
characters, you said that before, that they suck.
They're awful.
Yeah.
They're like sub Six Flags quality.
Spider-Man's not bad with the suit.
You can't really screw that up.
I
can't, I mean, it's Spider-Man. You can't really
It's but
mess that up.
But like they're pretty bad. Like it's all the foam muscles and like but obviously foam muscles. Like,
oh
it's,
boy,
it's like Halloween dungeon,
like Johnny Bravo.
Quality.
Sorry, like
like a mid tier Halloween Captain America,
like the ones you'd get in like the bag,
and not the really expensive like $1,000 replica suits. No, we're talking about the bags.
The bags. Yeah, I'm with you. Okay,
not the cosplay ones you see at Wizard
World. Those are way better.
Those are amazing.
Different league.
Yeah, but so yeah, they're really. Not very good, and I can't help but think that that's just their little jab or something.
Like, haha.
Yeah, I don't know.
You took all that money from us, I guess we'll do this.
Yeah, so I don't know, but...
Okay.
But that's why...
I knew if anybody would know, it would be you.
Me or Jim Hill.
Well, yeah. Jim Hill's not here, so...
That's true.
Yeah. So you.
So me.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyone in the room. So there's your education on...
Marvel characters,
theme park law.
Yeah. To teach that should be a class.
Yeah, it probably is.
I'd go to it.
Yeah.
I don't
know
why.
I guess we will turn our eyes to the box office. Oh. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. So this week, it looks like Leonardo DiCaprio is back at the top of the list here. The Revenant made another $16.2 million. It's a 49% drop in week five. That is now up to $119.3 million. It also made about $60 million overseas. So we're looking at around $170 million on a $135 million budget. It's really caught up in the last couple of weeks because, you know, it was a little bit under that and it got the foreign money. And it looks like with all the Oscar buzz and everything, I think that's really helped this
along. Yeah, I had a feeling that was good. As soon as he was nominated, I figured it was going to get a big jump.
Yeah, people, I mean, people are just talking about it nonstop, whether it's because of Leo and, you know, is he going to win an Oscar? I see all these articles. Will this be Leo's first Oscar win? I mean, it's just nonstop on the Revenant and Leo, so.
So I saw something. It was like, what if Leonardo never gets an Oscar, but there's a biopic about
Leo.
And the guy who plays Leonardo DiCaprio gets an Oscar.
That is a great meme,
That's fine trolling.
Yeah. I don't think he's up against anything else.
What about the bear? I thought he was going to get
I mean, it's a pretty good bear.
He was at the Golden Globes.
was he really?
Yeah, the bear was, yeah.
Oh, sitting by himself for some reason.
Nobody wanted to get mauled.
No, I thought, didn't he beat Leonardo DiCaprio at the Golden Globes? Like, that's how official those awards are.
Yeah,
I think the bear actually
He wasn't
him.
He wasn't nominated. He just beat Leonardo.
Yeah. That's how it works.
Away again.
So free for all. I think Ronda Rousey came in with an elbow drop, and then...
That doesn't make sense. That wouldn't happen in MMA, Kevin. Everybody drops an elbow in MMA.
It's the Golden Globes. Anything can happen here.
So in the special edition of the movie, does Leo shoot first?
I don't know. Yeah, he probably should.
Yeah.
Like,
in retrospect. Or just walk away was also the other option. And
I don't think you could at that point.
No, he sees the Cubs, right? And then at that point, I've been like, I should probably go.
Well, I think he just stopped moving because he didn't want to make any noise.
Oh, okay. All right. And then it was too late.
He did his best, Joe.
Yeah. He's an Indian tracker, not an Indian. He can't move silently through the woods.
Also not a ninja.
Yeah.
So anyway, The Revenant doing quite well, so we'll see how that one continues to do. Number two, this one's not doing too shabby. This is Star Wars The Force Awakens with another $14.3 million. It had a 46% drop, so still dropping slowly in week six. It's up to $879.3 million domestic. Oof.
Almost sounds like a big deal.
I don't know. I guess that's all right.
Yeah. Foreign, $1.06 billion. So it's actually up to a little bit over $1.93 billion worldwide. It's almost going to cross the $2 billion mark, but that's still like $700 million away from
it. Not
like,
going to hit it.
It's unbelievable.
No,
I don't know how that happened. Like with Avid, you guys have talked about it.
There's some articles. So since we talked about it last week, and it's a lot of what we thought about, our guesses. I mean, of course, these are all just kind of opinion articles. You know, I mean, this wasn't like by the box office financial, you know, senior analyst, but it was
the CBO.
Yeah. The opinions of these authors of the articles were very similar to ours. So it was like, you know, first 3D good movie. It was like everyone talking about, hey, you got to go check this technology out and see it. And it was just like a slow, people just kept going to the theater to see it. Whereas with these movies, you know, everyone's going to see it. It's got great word of mouth, but it's kind of, if you wanted to see it, you've done it. If you want to see it three times, you've done it. There's just no one else left to see it. Where with Avatar, it was like,
true.
Hey, I've still never seen like what 3D really looks like. And, you know,
I think also what's playing a role is China is there's no nostalgia for this property in China. Like, because when Star Wars opened in 77, it was right after the Cultural Revolution.
Okay.
And so they had basically quashed any Western media
So they were trying to get the Western influence out?
Correct.
Okay.
And so so Star Wars, the original trilogy, yeah. you know, New Hope, Empire.
The good ones.
The good ones. The ones that matter.
And this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They never really received a release in China. So there's like part of what drives your love for Force Awakens is nostalgia.
That's
right.
True.
Like
yeah.
if you just walked in and you'd never seen the other movies, I don't know that you would care as much.
Right.
You know? And so there's no nostalgia for these properties over there, and they've been trying to create it and be like, hey, these are really popular everywhere else, you should watch them, and like get them out to people. But like I remember when Phantom Menace came out and opened in China, it did like $14 million.
Wow.
And Ooh. They were ecstatic because at the time it was like the best a Western movie had ever done in China, where now that sounds insane,
right? But you do 14 million in China, you're like, we should just pack it in.
Yeah, we should, you know. Yeah. Where like, so Star Wars Force Awakens, like, it had a good opening weekend, but it didn't have a great opening weekend.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was number one,
and it broke the record,
but compared to the kind of numbers it was doing here.
Oh yeah. It's
you know what I mean?
But like that, yeah. that goes to show you that it yeah. broke the record, and it was still only like 50 something million.
Yeah. And in week two, it got beaten by a movie called Boony Bears 3. So
yeah. That's any idea.
That's
was
a
it?
Thing.
Didn't they, weren't they running? What was that movie? There's an animated flick over there that was just like doing ridiculous numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming out here.
It's coming out here. Yeah.
And, but like, it's stuff like that where I guess maybe they're just so starved for content.
Well, China still clamps down on what can and cannot get released in China.
Right.
So that's why
you can't be like paint China.
Right.
Or China,
you can't make China look bad. And sometimes it'll just be like, sometimes it'll just be like, you know what? There's too many Western movies coming out right now, and we want the Chinese filmmakers to be able to get traction.
I got
and so
you.
They'll just clamp down and they won't let it and
just bottleneck it.
One of the ways around it is by putting a Chinese actor in your movie.
I'm
which
telling
is
you,
why,
Rogue,
which is,
Rogue One
did it in Iron Man. Like, yep. they're, you know, like you see more and more of this. Like, here's a Chinese actor for no reason. Like, that's you know,
it's XXX is the no the new Vin Diesel XXX whatever.
Yeah,
has two. He's
yeah.
like Tony Jaa and Jet Li. That'll work, right? And
yeah.
they're like, yeah. He's like,
yeah,
done.
Totally
put him
fine.
In there,
right? And
yeah.
and like that's why like. That's part of why Transformers 4 did so well, is because they really catered to China.
Never seen it.
Yeah,
yeah,
you're lucky. But
did I see that? That the Mark Wahlberg one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did an episode on it.
Yeah.
We just blocked it out. Yeah.
Like so. China.
I just wanted to set the record straight. Last weekend, Boony Bears 3 did not beat The Force Awakens. Thank you very much. Although Boony Bears 3 may be an excellent film.
Did it get adjusted? Because the article I saw said that it did.
It only made $15.9 million. Star Wars made $20.2 million.
Well, it's weird because the article I saw in like Hollywood Reporter, like it was...
They're usually not wrong.
Yeah.
Just saying, I know you love Boony Bears franchise, but just to give you a comparison, I mean, China, obviously, if you look at movies like Transformers, I mean, just has insane box office over there. But Star Wars The Force Awakens has made more in Germany than it has in China, which is just kind of like,
I guess, in sheer volume of people.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that China would, you know, it would open there and just do gangbusters.
Yeah.
But
I guess I never thought about that they would kind of be like, no. Like, we need more
robots. I don't know why.
Like that BB-8 is really cute, but...
You would think that they would just start putting Transformers in every movie. I mean, we would never know. We're not going to see the Chinese cut, so why would they not just add a couple Transformers?
They turn Mark Wahlberg into a Transformer.
That, you know, like, there's, like, a Death Star that just, like, transforms into a huge robot and starts fighting
people.
Wait,
didn't they have a moon? I don't remember. I feel like they had a moon.
What's that?
In Transformers that was a robot.
Oh yeah, there. You're
Wasn't
thinking
it?
Of the
Galvatron.
Galvatron.
Galvatron
was like
a
planet kind of thing. Yep, you're right. Anyway,
you can tell which one of us did not watch Transformers. I'm like, I don't know. We'll talk about Speed Racer.
All I know is that when Megatron used to be a gun, and you could buy him and you could transform into a gun, he's no longer a gun. Like, they've changed. He's not a gun anymore. He's like a dinosaur or something now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
he's
funny.
No longer a little pistol that
they
you
don't
can,
just sell like
no,
guns that
no,
you can.
The old like the old one was a giant metal.
Right, right.
You could transform into a gun.
Yeah. That was the whole deal. He turned into a gun in Shockwave.
Yeah.
Soundwave or Shockwave? Which one? I think those are both Transformers.
No. It doesn't matter.
Soundwave, probably.
We've gone so.
Soundwave
was cassettes. Yes.
Soundwave would shoot him or Starscream would shoot him.
Yes.
Both of them would take the the gun that he does.
When what was
Tom? Okay, so this is
like, this old so timey lost. Reference.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, young timey.
Yeah, young timey.
No, we had like a grunge song playing when we do this. But no, but the weird thing was
that,
though,
I can talk about grunge music. That I know.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
But, fair enough. So the weird thing was that in the Transformers Generation 1, the original cartoon that we watched.
Yeah.
Megatron had a huge bazooka on his shoulder.
Correct.
But he transformed into a tiny pistol that would somehow be more powerful than the bazooka cannon on his shoulder.
We didn't ask questions.
You're applying logic.
I'm just saying. He transformed into a pistol. So
we don't ask questions, Kevin.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
They were just dubbed over anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So Star Wars The Force Awakens is only about $1 billion or $2 billion worldwide, so probably not going to make a profit on that one. They should probably just cancel the sequels.
I'm sure Batman vs. Superman will beat it.
So anyway, poor
that's
Star
not
Wars.
Gonna happen.
Number three, it's got to be the movie of the day, right? I mean, you would think
we've been through this before.
Ride, Ride Along 2, number three, took a 65% drop in week two, so that was a quick drop for that one. You know, you look at other movies like Daddy's Home, like Sisters, that took the tiny little drops, and then here comes Ride Along 2, which didn't have, you know, a huge opening, and it's already down to 12.3 million its second week in release, so $58.4 million domestic on that one. That just kind of baffles me. I just wonder what's going on with the Kevin Hart phenomenon.
The first one did a lot, right? Like it was,
yeah, it kept chugging too. Like it ended up doing, I think I want to say like 140.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good.
And this only had a $40 million budget, so I mean it's at 50 now. You know, it's over 50 now. It's made like 10 million foreign, so it's going to make a little bit of money over there. So
yeah.
I don't think they're going to lose money, but that really makes me question whether or not. I mean, I don't think this probably would make for a Ride Along 3, these kind of numbers. I mean, do you think that squeaking by with a profit would, they would,
I think you'll see a Ride Along 3 with two different people.
Yeah, I guess the you property know? Could, but yeah. I don't know if you can make, I mean,
they're doing a Rush Hour TV show, Kevin.
Are they?
Yes. Are they?
Yeah. Oh.
There was a House Party 4.
Okay, well, there was a
Meatballs 7. Like there was a
Police Academy 9.
There was like six right, Cannonball
well,
Run
let's
movies.
Let's not talk about Police Academy because those are great. Not really.
Well, not
those are deep fried tacos, like triple deep fried tacos. I think he's got something coming out with The Rock.
Yeah,
it's the same movie only with The Rock.
Yeah. Oh, he's a funny little short guy that keeps screwing things up, and he's a.
What's wrong with that?
What are you talking about?
No, I wasn't talking about the movie The Rock. I was talking about Tom's marriage. Yeah. What did you guys think I was describing?
Yeah. Jeez. Oh, I wasn't the one who screwed that up.
Oh, no, the current one.
Oh, the current
we've been
one.
To 2017, so gotcha, we already know what's going to happen. So anyway, I don't know. I mean, that just really surprised me. The first Ride Along did pretty decent money, and this one's barely
good. I'm wondering, like, it went up against some pretty big movies this time around.
It did.
Last year was up against American Sniper, right? It wasn't last year?
Is that right?
Was it two years ago?
I don't know why anybody... Any studio would try.
It came out in 2014, so it's been 2 years. I thought it was last year.
So it would have gone up against that Lone Survivor.
It would have gone up against Lone Survivor.
It's a little bit different of a movie. Yeah,
I don't know why anybody would try to go up against.
I just think why did they not just go for the end of January spot? You know, why even try?
There's nothing coming out next week either. Like you had a whole week to yourself.
Everyone kind of jumped the gun. I don't care. Why not wait? But anyway, so we'll see what ends up happening there. Maybe we'll star Cuba Gooding Jr. and James Wood or something.
I would actually see that movie.
James Wood?
Yeah.
Hey, if you're telling me it's James Wood, I'm in.
You worked at Blockbuster, so all those
John Carpenter's
The Hard Way.
Yeah, all the, like, they're not Asylum-level movies where they're knockoffs, but they're the straight-to-DVD action movies starring, like, real people.
There were times where, like, there was one with Travolta and De Niro.
Like, you know James Woods isn't black, right?
But it's like, I swear he did, like, four action movies with Cuba Gooding Jr. It's like,
I can't remember the name of it, but it was like, we would get those a week early, right? So we're putting stuff together and it's Travolta and De Niro. And I was like, what is this? Never went to theaters, straight to DVD. And I was like, how does that De Niro movie go straight to DVD? And then I saw
this week's De Niro movie and we're like, how does it not does it, go how, straight
yeah.
to
yeah.
You should just go straight to VOD at this point.
Like, how can this movie so bad, how can it stick to the film?
It's so greasy and gross,
it should just slide right off. Yeah.
Well, speaking of this week's release, number four, Dirty Grandpa. I don't know if I want to say it. Dirty Grandpa Kim.
Already said it.
I'm sure they already said it for you.
Yeah. Dirty Grandpa made $11.6 million opening weekend. I don't have a budget on this one. But
I mean, it couldn't have been 30.
I don't. I mean, De Niro
right?
had to have gotten you a paycheck
25
for
of it
this.
Went to De Niro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he had to take a paycheck. That's the only reason he would do something like this. So, you know.
It's just weird. So we'll get into it later, but I guess I just don't like when an actor the caliber of Robert De Niro reads a script and he's like, yeah, I'll do it. Like at this point in your career, you're only tarnishing your own legacy,
which I don't get. So, yeah, I get that you have to make a paycheck, but this dude's got to have unlimited money.
He's not even that. Was it American Hustle when he shows up and you're like,
yeah,
in that scene where you're just like, that's the De Niro I love. And he's got that new one coming out with Scorsese where he's going back
to him and Pesci, and all those guys are
coming back to do like a mob flick.
That's awesome.
You know, it could be awesome.
Yeah.
It has the potential.
But my concern is that you're so much like, that's going to be amazing that there's no way it can actually
be
amazing.
That's a good point.
You know,
yeah. Touche.
Couldn't live up to the hype. This movie is on like Rocky and Bullwinkle level.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the only thing I can think of is Blackmail. that has to be the only reason I can't figure it out, because he's such an amazing actor. I get it when you make a movie that's not that great. I get it when you do a paycheck type movie, but then there's a whole other caliber of movie
paycheck,
right, where it's not even, it's just like garbage movie. Yeah. You know, like
Kevin Smith had a great line about, somebody asked him about Paycheck with Affleck. He's like, what'd you think of Paycheck? And Kevin Smith's like, that title was really appropriate. it's stuff like that. That's like, funny. Yeah, I get it. I get you have to, you know, like Jason Lee and Alvin and the Chipmunks, or, you know, thing like, I get it. You gotta get those paychecks somehow. But there comes a point where when you're somebody like De Niro, you're like, I'm not doing that.
They must have thought this was either going to be extremely funny, you know, when they signed when the ink was still drying on this thing, or he owed someone a favor.
I don't know. I went back because I was like, there has to be somebody on this film that I know. Like maybe Apatow had a hand in it at one point, or Adam, you know,
kind of insulting.
Well, not insulting, but like, you know, like maybe he had
like at a distant level.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah.
There's nobody. There's nobody involved.
I think the director,
he's
like,
a Borat.
He's Borat.
Yeah,
and I think that's what's going on.
He did all that stuff.
And
yeah,
I think that because Robert De Niro is old, he's just now hearing about Borat, and he and he doesn't get like how like in today's world that movie's almost like three generations ago.
Yeah,
you know, and so
and
he's
I don't like this movies.
Is very popular with the kids. I'll make one of these.
Yeah, I'll do this.
Yeah.
Which is a completely different type of movie. I mean, you know, Borat and Bruno and those type of movies are like mockumentaries.
Yeah.
So I don't like those either.
But there's not even the same appeal because this is a scripted comedy. Yeah. So it's like, yeah. And what's funny is that, and now Sacha Baron Cohen has a new scripted comedy coming out. So
is it with Mark Strong?
Yeah, I think because of The Dictator was scripted too. So I guess
the Dictator
was
scripted.
I was thinking Bruno.
The Dictator actually made money.
Wait, that was scripted?
The Dictator? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I lumped that in.
The Dictator
with Bruno
was one where it was
Blatt
like he came to New York City or whatever, and he was a fish out of water. Like it was a scripted. It wasn't a.
You mean like Coming to America?
No, this
like,
one
except,
wasn't good.
Except,
yeah.
Except worse.
Yeah. So there were three of those mockumentaries, weren't there? There was Borat.
I thought The Dictator was
Bruno,
the third one.
It's not. The Dictator is not a. It is not a scripted comedy.
I guess you count Ali G?
No, because that didn't. Well, I don't know if I'd count that. That was like an HBO movie or something, wasn't it?
I thought it was a TV show.
It was, but I think there was like an Ali G movie. But
I think there was an Ali G movie, but it was like, I think it was released in Britain. Like it wasn't.
Yeah,
that's where he's
yeah,
that's where that
like
stuff
a,
was
yeah,
popular.
Where started,
yeah.
So I don't know, but we'll see. I just don't know. Maybe we'll figure something out while we're talking
we
about
won't,
it.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
There's one. I will get as a teaser. There's one person in that movie who knows what it is, and she kills it. Other than that,
yeah,
everybody else is awful.
Well, stay tuned to find out who that is. Number five, The Boy.
Oh, that's that horror flick that I meant to check out.
Oh, that's the doll one.
Yep.
Yeah. Doll?
I'll
no
grab
dice.
It. Yeah.
No dice.
Creepy doll movie.
Well, you must have really hated Lars and the Real Girl.
No, he likes those kind of dolls. That's a different doll.
Totally different doll.
Shh, Kevin, don't give me away.
So this was directed by the guy that did The Devil Inside and Stay Alive. I don't think
Which was The Devil Inside?
The Devil
it's the NXS biopic.
That's awful. I know which one that is.
Okay.
Is that the one? Yeah. That had some good scenes. That had some really good creepy scenes.
$1 million budget. The Devil Inside made 101 million worldwide.
Yeah. Holy
crap.
I think that's a Blumhouse.
53 million in the US alone.
Yeah.
Like, that's.
They had some really creepy scenes in that movie, but over, I mean, it was just, you were, they had, it's almost like they had those scenes laid out and they just put stuff in there to get to those scenes.
Interesting. Well, his movies seem to make money. His first feature, 2006, Stay Alive, made $27 million. And I'm going to say, since it was his first film, and you know, he was
I feel like that was a Project Greenlight one, maybe.
I don't see them as executive producers here, but who knows? Nah. But I mean, anyway, so his movies make money. So this one came in at $10 million. I don't have the budget, but if it's another one of those small, this one looked like it had a bigger budget. I mean, it didn't look like a Paranormal Activity. It actually, like, I don't know. I mean, the house seemed like they actually had
a Conjuring.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like they actually put a little bit more into this production.
Maybe what was the mirror one?
Oculus. Did we do an episode on that?
Yeah, we did. That was pretty good.
It wasn't that bad.
It was all right. It was pretty good for a horror flick.
Maybe that one was okay.
It was a WWE Films one.
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Because Stone Cold Steve Austin played the mirror.
He did.
Oh, yeah?
He broke it, and then he came out and stunned everybody. That's how we killed him. Just give him stunners.
Did they look in the mirror and look like Steve Austin?
No, he'd look back at him, he'd flip him the bird, and then he'd come out and stun him.
And throw a beer at him. And
every time one of them died, he'd jump out and be like, suck it.
But it makes sense, because Stone Cold wasn't part of DX.
I don't know. Yeah. So the only thing I know about wrestling. After that, I'm going back to like Gorgeous George.
And then he said,
Nature Boy Buddy Rogers.
And then he said, oh yeah.
And then he said, it.
Hulkamaniacs.
Just randomly throwing out phrases.
Yeah, I think you combine them. I think Stone Cold in this movie said, "Oh yeah, Hulkamaniac."
Yeah, everybody's like, "What? What's happening?" All right, right on.
Snap into a suck it.
That's the best kept joke Kevin said all podcast. All 154 of them.
Oh, thank you.
It was a slow grind.
Yeah, right.
It was worth the wait.
It was worth the wait. That was good.
Guys, I'm done here.
Yeah,
my pick is done.
Drop the mic.
Number six, 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, the movie from last weekend. It made $9.6 million, a 41% drop. It is now up to 33. Wow, that's kind of a weird number. It's up to $33,333,000.
That's odd.
Domestic. Yeah, I mean, just what a weird.
Yeah. Can we get John back on the show? Because that was interesting as F.
Yeah, so you listen to that?
Yeah, heck yeah, I listened to it. That was amazing. Like, he was awesome.
Yeah.
That was so good.
I mean, we always try to get guests that have some kind of insight. I mean, Chris has a dirty grandpa. So.
Right.
I mean,
so. Yeah. He's got two.
Yeah.
I got stories.
Yeah. Right now, they're off somewhere making sweet, sweet love.
Oh, you mean like two in the same. I'm with you. I think you meant like on your mom's side and then on your dad's side. Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter.
2016.
Is there a version of that that's okay?
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome, buddy. Yeah.
Either way, I'm not sleeping tonight.
And don't ever check out Joe's search history.
I deleted it. It's fine.
But
you think you did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
But yeah, we always try to have a guest on the show that has some kind of an insight into the topic that we're talking about. So yeah, he was great.
He was super interesting.
Yeah, providing how that
it's
works.
It's just weird because I know him from the Nocturnal Emissions.
Yeah, which like, is like a silly, wacky,
yeah, it was like a goofball.
Lots kind of dick jokes kind of a thing.
And so I know Joe and John. Like, I know them both. So when John starts talking about stuff like that, I was like
what?
Whoa, what is happening?
When did this occur? Yeah.
Was I right about John Krasinski? Like, could he have been Captain America at one point?
Oh, I think so. I think so.
Judging from this movie, I guess.
Yeah, I think he could do it. It's interesting. I watched an episode of The Office this morning just as a...
Because it's awesome.
Well, it was a later episode, but...
Those are good, too. I fell off when Jim went to Philly.
Yeah.
So I just caught up,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when I was sick.
It was a good show. But I was watching some episodes of The Office, and, you know, I remembered how funny it was, and I really liked him on The Office. And it's just so weird to see him now after going into these more serious roles and seeing him in 13 Hours to watch, go back and watch him as Jim. But I you know, I think he did a good job. He was believable. To me, he didn't stand out. Now, again, I didn't have the insight, like we mentioned last week, where John knew things to look for and how you would maybe hold a sidearm or present yourself in a certain situation. And to me, I didn't pick up on that kind of stuff, but he did not seem miscast. He did not seem like a zany goofball that was there.
He's playing jokes on his other guys.
Yeah, right.
Who put my gun in Jell-O?
And the camera just kind of turns to him and zooms in and he gets a funny face.
He shoots a terrorist in the face and looks at the camera like, shrugs.
Shrugs, yeah.
Terrorist. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Oh, well.
Yeah, so anyway, but
I completely shrink wrapped his Koran.
And put it in a Jell-O mold or whatever.
I hit his prayer rug in a Jell-O mold.
Sarcastic shrug.
It's up to that little over $33 million, and it does not have any foreign release, so
it probably won't.
Yeah, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say this one's pretty American-centric.
I'm surprised it didn't. Like, I guess, you know, this was the time of year when American Sniper did all that money, and
think the Revenant.
That's probably true.
The Revenant sucked up all that.
You know, I will say I noticed a lot of people are seeing this because of some sort of political affiliation. I don't know if you've noticed shares and stuff on Facebook.
I haven't. I think that's a mistake that they made. I think they tried to make this, because this movie, I think, was fairly apolitical.
It is apolitical.
And I think that from a marketing standpoint, thing that was
they tried
a bad
to make
move.
It, yeah,
they, I think they thought if we make it apolitical, we'll get people from both sides to see it. And no, you won't, because the topic has been so politicized.
Right.
People on the left, they don't want to hear anything about it anymore. They're just not going to listen to it. And the people on the right, when they hear that this movie is apolitical, they're like, well, I don't want to hear that.
What's the point?
And so
that's interesting.
Yeah, I think by trying to be things to everybody, they were nothing. Anyway,
I think when you're sitting in a marketing meeting, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Until you implement it, and then you're like God damn it.
Instead, they should have doubled down, and they should have said, you know,
or you do two different types of marketing. You do the left marketing, then maybe you get the left, and then you do the right marketing, and you get the right. And then
so left marketing is like he's like shooting people while he's wearing Birkenstocks.
Right. Yeah. He's got Crocs.
He's a small town guy.
But
he's from Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Because if you make these far-right polemic films, they'll make money.
Yeah.
And they, you know, and I think that they...
It's weird. Did you think, American Sniper was political?
No. I think...
I think that's why it was... That's a hard one to say. I think that they did that, and that was just telling a story of a guy more or less, where this one, you don't care enough about the characters. Like, you do. I mean,
people already knew who Chris Kyle was.
It was more about him and his story, whereas this one is about a group of people, which, I mean, they are heroes. They're real people and everything, but you don't really get attached to them like that. The movie isn't about their home life and their family life, whereas American Sniper was about him. Exactly. Okay. So I think maybe that had the more mass appeal.
Okay.
So anyway, so we'll see. I mean, this had a $50 million budget and it's only made that $33 million, and that's not including marketing.
I can only hope that studios are like, Michael Bay movie kind of tanked. Let's stop giving him stuff.
Well, it's a different, I think that this was his shot to do something smaller, and I think that Transformers 5 is being made.
True,
so.
It's funny. Instead, they went the other way. We're only going to trust you with a $300 million budget. You want $20 million to make a movie?
No, sir.
You will take $250 million and you will like it.
You know what? More explosions. If this had more explosions. And a robot. I'm telling you, a giant robot.
We needed Muslim robots. I said it last week. I stand by it.
Based on a true story. You know how that goes.
Based on a true story. Man of Steel. Based on a true story.
Yeah. Exactly. So
called 9/11.
You know what? More terraforming. If this movie had terraforming, maybe it would turn out differently. But anyway, so yeah, it's only in week two. It's number six. So I think in the next couple weeks, that's going to be gone. Number seven, The Fifth Wave, also opening this weekend. Ooh. Opening at number seven with 8.9 million. Now, they cannot be happy with those kind of numbers.
Is that that young adult movie?
Yeah,
it's the young adult movie of the week.
Chloe Grace.
Right.
Chloe Grace Moritz. You know what? When I saw this in theaters, I just... cringed, I think, out loud.
How do you cringe out loud?
That's impressive.
Did you throw something out?
Seriously, no.
I think maybe what you need is a chiropractor.
I know. I
cringed so hard, I got a crink in my neck.
I think I broke a tooth.
You're throwing out your back cringing, but I'm the old one?
Yeah. When you see every other week a trailer for a young adult property, it's just like, enough is enough.
This movie, I've seen it.
Oh, really?
And it wasn't Dirty Grandpa bad, but it was not very good.
So what happened to her? Like, she was supposed to be...
And then she made Carrie.
That's it, right? Like, that's the one.
The Curse of Carrie.
Yeah. Like, so she was great in... She was adorable in Kick-Ass.
Can say Let the Right One In.
No, that was good, too. Like, she was great in that.
I don't know that I'd say she was adorable.
Let me in the American.
Oh, no, Let the Right One. Yeah, right. Yeah. Either way.
Yeah.
But like, she was, great in Kick-Ass,
Hit Girl, awesome.
Yeah,
but you know what?
Kick-Ass 2 was not good.
Yeah, no, that wasn't her fault.
No, that wasn't her fault.
But you know what? Okay, Kick-Ass is a certain type of movie. Like, just because she was awesome in Kick-Ass, which she was because she was a 7-year-old that was like killing people with samurai swords. You know what I mean? Like,
sucker.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference.
I did it myself, so you didn't have to do it.
Oh, really? No, yeah. I thought
he's so thoughtful.
I thought I was just so good at the sound effects that I pressed the button.
Perfect pitch. It sounds exactly the same.
But you know, my point is, like, that role is a very funny, like, ironic and just zany role for a kid to be shooting guns and doing all that and saying those type of things. And she was very, very good in it. I mean, she was perfect for that role.
Yeah.
But like, her being awesome as Hit Girl doesn't mean that she's an Oscar-winning actress.
I agree. But
I mean, this isn't a fall from grace. Well,
I don't know.
Well,
man.
Fall for grace.
Yeah. No, probably third.
She hit the skids at Carrie.
Yeah.
Is where it kind of went off the rails.
She was the little sister in 500 Days of Summer. She was fine in that. But
she was
a small role.
She was a child in that.
Right. But I mean,
I'm just saying recently.
Wait, is that the Mark Webb one?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
But I mean,
that's a great movie.
A great movie.
But I think that was part of her charm. I think she was a cute little kid. She was a good actress. And I don't know that she necessarily is setting the world on fire with her acting ability. I just don't think...
No, I mean, she was in that really bad Gillian Anderson flick. Yeah. She was the girl in...
Yeah, in The Dark Places. Yeah,
In Dark Places.
And she was in The Equalizer. She played, like, the call girl.
Oh, like the hooker?
Yeah. Which was kind of...
That wasn't a bad movie.
It was kind of weird because you picture her as Hit Girl. Like, you know, so young. But...
And then she's in Neighbors 2. She's going to be in Neighbors. She's the main character.
She's going to be Little Mermaid.
In the Disney version?
Mm-hmm.
Disney's remaking The Little Mermaid into a live action movie.
Everything into a live action movie.
She's going to be Ariel?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but they're making everything live. I mean, they're this close to Song of the South. Like, they are strip mining the vaults. Yeah.
So
when they do money like those other ones have done, they're just like,
just
do them.
But so my point is, when you look back at her catalog and you say, what happened to Chloe Grace Moritz? I mean, she never took, she was just cute. She was cool in Hit Girl.
Yeah, I guess.
What else did she do that you were amazed by?
I love Let Me In. That was a good remake.
Yeah. I agree. She was good in that. But again, that was like around the same time. But other than that, I don't think she's that great.
I don't know.
You know?
She was getting a bunch of buzz and praise. And then, I guess it is Carrie is where it was just like,
Yeah, I mean, she was in movie 43. That was terrible.
Oh, God.
She was in Dark Shadows. That was terrible.
That was awful.
Dark Shadows?
She was in that?
Yeah,
I didn't realize she was the voice of Darby on My Friends Tigger and Pooh.
Really?
Yeah. Why would I lie about that? Wow. What a weird thing for me to lie about.
Oh, Dark Shadows made $245 million on a $150 million budget.
It had Johnny Depp and Tim Burton. Yeah, those goth kids showed up in droves.
No, they didn't. That's all foreign money.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah,
but
good point.
$165 million foreign, $79 domestic.
Foreign kids showed up in droves.
But Fifth Wave was not very good. It was like, and I'm just gonna spoil the movie for you.
Cool.
Do you like alien movies but you don't like action or say aliens?
I like
then
aliens.
Perhaps the Fifth Wave is for you.
So you never see them?
You do not see one alien in this entire movie. There's a twist at the end where
is this a sequel to The Village?
Yeah, it kind of feels like it.
I was just about to ask.
So like the aliens come down, they're killing people, they're taking them out, and the population's really small, and so they decide, the government, just what's left of it, decides that they're going to like round up kids and make an army out of them. And because the aliens are like this thing, like a parasite in your brain that control you. So you can't tell who the aliens are. Right.
So like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they have this special device that they can wear, and they send the kids in the battle. and then the kids figure out that the device doesn't work, and they have them killing people, and that the government that's been like training them,
yeah,
they're actually the aliens. And so, but because of this, you never see one alien in the entire movie.
That's awful. Like, the movie's not about aliens.
Everybody, even the aliens, look like people. So there's no alien.
But there's not aliens. It's the government, right?
There really are aliens.
The government is the alien.
They are the aliens.
The aliens are posing as the government.
Right.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Yeah.
It's Superman, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, Superman has to look like, you can't have Superman look like an alien. And everybody's like, yeah, man, we're good. We trust you.
Yeah.
You look completely normal and human.
Right.
But you're still an alien.
So, wait, so this is like, it's like the two aliens from The Simpsons that are wearing people suits, basically.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos.
It was not very good.
It was just
cheap and lazy. And there's a big fight scene at the end that was so poorly shot. Like, it was so dark. It should have just been on the radio. It was. I'm just like, what is going on here?
Pirates of the Caribbean 4.
Yeah.
I mean, 5.
Then that's coming out, yeah. But I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
I did see it.
You did? How is it?
It's awful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I believe you that you've seen it, because that sounds right.
Wait, there's going to be a fifth one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just flip-flopped Pirates 5 and Star Wars.
The
episode 7, 8.
Yeah. But yeah, I think Orlando Bloom's back, so they're finally going back to the reason that people saw those movies.
You mean Johnny Depp?
Well, he's back, but he was in the fourth one. Orlando Bloom's actually going to be in the fifth one.
Was he not in the fourth one?
Yeah, they took him and Keira Knightley. Were not in that movie.
Oh,
it was,
well, didn't they kill him?
It was the Captain Jack show.
Didn't they kill?
No, but he was like the pirate of the boat. He became like, he died, but then he became.
I don't remember.
I saw one
pirate or whatever. Whatever.
It's been so long.
Number 8, Daddy's Home, still making money. $4.9 million. That's a 49% drop in week 5. Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell making $138 million domestic. And I think that one had a little foreign. $51 million foreign, actually.
It's not bad. For a comedy.
Yeah, not too bad at all for an American comedy. $190 million worldwide. Still an undisclosed budget, but I think we looked on like Wikipedia last week. It was 50.
Don't look at me. I wasn't here.
Yeah, I think it was 50.
I think it was 50. So, I mean, 190 on a 50? Not too bad.
Not
at
too
all.
Shabby.
Nope. No. Number 9, Norm of the North. I know Tom's excited. That's still in theaters.
Who was the voice in this one?
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider. Okay.
That took a quick drop to 9th place with $3.9 million. It's a 43% drop from its opening, if you can call it that. $14 million domestic on that one.
Good.
So
serves it right.
Yeah. So I guess I'll be out of the top 10 next week. And rounding out the top 10, The Big Short, still making money, $3.3 million, a 38% drop in week 7. It's at $56.5 million domestic, another $18 million foreign, so maybe the buzz. I mean, this is about the American crisis.
It's about the subprime mortgage crisis.
Yeah, so I mean, it's interesting that foreign, so I guess the award buzz would be
generating. And the names.
Yeah,
there's a lot of
I have to go with the names.
Right.
Because you got, you know, Steve Carell, Brad Pitt, Christian Bale. There's a lot of big names in it.
So, I mean, over $72 million worldwide on a $28 million budget.
It's not too shabby.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
So, that's the box office.
Thank you, Gavin.
You're welcome.
So, I guess that's it for this episode. We will go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Chris Fulgham. You can hit me an email at litherival@gmail.com.
You have no social media presence?
Not really, man. I'm sorry to say low key.
We brought him on the Dirty Grandpa episode because he is a grandpa.
That's right. You outed me, man.
And I'm Kevin Brackett. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And I'm Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, we are available for you 24 hours a day, or at least our Facebook page is facebook.com/Real Spoilers. You can stop on by there, and you can also share the show while you're there and join our League of Show Sharers. We greatly appreciate it, and it helps us a lot. Also, don't forget, we're available on iTunes, and so you can go there and rate and review us. That also helps us. And if you've missed a movie from like the last 2 years, chances are we've talked about it in depth. So there's like 150 plus episodes just sitting there waiting for you patiently. longingly, sadly,
just waiting.
Like little puppies at the pound, looking
with
at their, you with
big
puppy
with
eyes,
big paws on the glass,
wondering why you aren't listening to them.
If you don't download these, we have to delete them.
Yeah, we have to kill them.
Please download them.
We have to put them down.
We should have a telethon. Just please download all these episodes.
Please just download. So, but for real, like if you,
Sarah McLachlan,
you catch a movie on cable or something, and you're like, oh yeah, like you should go check out an old episode. They are sitting there waiting for you.
Yep.
So anyway, that's it. Coming up on our next episode, we will be taking on, oh dear.
I'm going to take out is what's going to happen. I'm taking out
Dirty Grandpa.
And not in like for dinner in a movie.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if you enjoy the episodes where we don't like a movie, perhaps you will enjoy our Dirty Grandpa
it's
episode.
It's a safe bet.
Because it was not very good.
No.
So,
no.
Anyway, that's coming up on the next episode. Until then, you've been warned.
Many, many years ago, when I was 23, I was married to a widow who was pretty as can be. This widow had a grown-up daughter who had hair of red. My father fell in love with her, and soon they too were wed. This made my dad my son-in-law and really changed my life. Now my daughter was my mother, 'cause she was my father's wife. To complicate the matter, even though it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. My little baby then became a brother-in-law to Dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me very sad. For if he were my uncle, then that also made him brother of the widow's grown-up daughter, who was, of course, my stepmother. Father's wife then had a son who kept them on the run, and he became my grandchild, for he was my daughter's son. My wife is now my mother's mother, and it makes me blue, because although she is my wife, she's my grandmother too. Now, if my wife is my grandmother, then I'm her grandchild. Yeah, and every time I think of it, nearly drives me wild. 'Cause now I have become the strangest case you ever saw. As husband of my grandmother, I am my own grandpa. Oh, I'm my own grandpa.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.